This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we progress further into Philippians with, to live as Christ, grant it to suffer, complete my joy, even death on a cross, and lights in the world. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth shall declare your praise. For it is to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
The Lord has sanctified us in the truth.
Oh, God, let us worship Him. Oh, God, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the Father of salvation. Let us come into His presence.
Thank you.
has sanctified us in the true faith.
Reading from Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is indeed a pleasure to be here for the opening chapel service of the 178th time for the Concordia Theological Seminary. I'm honored to be in your presence, and I bring God's word to you that you will be bringing out to the world when you have finished your formation and go into this world with the gospel of Christ Jesus. In his poem, Invictus, William Ernest Henley boldly states, "I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul." This individualistic, egocentric, and totally un-Christian statement is what the world is grasping. But God's word tells us a different theme of comfort and of hope. For you have been saved by grace through faith, and this is not of yourself, but a gift of God. God's word is this vivid contrast to all of this human egocentricity that we face. God's amazing grace saved a wretch like me. Look, we exist in a secular world where God's word has been treated like somewhat of a smorgasbord to take what you like and forget the rest, or is at worst just another piece of moral literature. Thanks be to God that the students who come to this great seminary and the faculty who teach here fully subscribe to the inerrancy of God's word and all of its word, and teach the Lutheran confessions as a true exposition of that word. In a recent article entitled "Christian Beliefs That Are Invading the American Culture," Aaron Burden, no pun intended, argues that parochial education is dangerous, traditional marriage is archaic, teaching sexual abstinence is oppressive, calling LGBTQ sinful is prejudice, opposition to euthanasia limits our human choice, and pro-life suppresses our individuality. Is Christianity invading the American culture, or is the American culture invading Christianity? When we divide and find that law is being rejected, what happens to the proclamation of the gospel? So when we hear St. Paul speaking to us in our lesson today, we start to think, St. Paul must have been a Lutheran. He separated good, law, and gospel distinction. But even today, politicians who espouse themselves to be Lutherans jettison whole portions of Holy Scripture. They are no longer binding themselves to the faithful subscription of what it is that we have in our Lutheran confessions. And in our reading today, St. Paul made a very clear distinction of law and God's pure gospel. It is God's word in all of its totality that brings the theology into the reality of our lives in Christ. His gift of grace cannot be earned, is not deserved, because it is a precious divine gift from God. St. Paul uses these words to mean that God's grace is a divinely perfect, complete action that has continuous results. He makes us alive in Christ, and by his grace, he offers his Son for our sins. He raises us to new life in Christ Jesus, and the means of grace, he brings us this gift of faith that apprehends this overflowing, complete, and continuous grace that comes from God and strengthens our faith and offers us the forgiveness of sins that was won by our Savior Jesus Christ. God's salvation is done to us and given to us for us. Scripture says that we have been dead in our trespasses, and we can point to the evidence of how we can proclaim this to the world, that on the cross of Christ, it proves that we have been saved by God's grace, because his cross means that our sins have been totally atoned for when the very Lamb of God suffered and died for us all. So today, St. Paul says, you are saved by grace through faith. But the writer of Hebrews reminds us, faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things that are yet not seen. Knowing that there is a God is not necessarily saving faith. True, knowledge comes to us through God's word, but it also goes beyond just mere knowledge. True Christian faith has a central point. Our saving faith is the crucified and risen Savior Jesus Christ. True Christian faith grasps the centrality of Christ's death that paid for our sin, and his glorious resurrection earned for us that justification by God's grace. God's gift of faith receives that substance of Christ's atoning sacrifice in God's abundant and continuous shower of his grace upon our lives. But just knowing that Christ died on the cross and rose 3 days later is historical knowledge. The apprehension of that glorious, yet awful event comes by faith, that it means that God has given this to us, that Christ's sacrifice is for us in its totality, and we exercise this faith because it is squarely founded on Christ Jesus our Lord. Our faith emboldened us that Jesus carries us over all of the troubled waters of our life. We totally reject the notion of those who say, if you do your very level best, God Almighty will do the rest. Nowhere in the Bible will you find them say, God helps those who help themselves. No, it does say you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not a work of yourself, but a gift from God. We are the recipients of this divine and continuous grace from God. He is the giver, we are the receiver. Apart from God and outside of his work, any works righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. So is there any hope? Just as assuredly as St. Paul listed that list of our unworthiness in this scripture passages, he also offers God's divine peace. For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Did you catch that? We're not saved by our works, nor as a result of our works. We are God's workmanship to do good works in his kingdom. Our good works are good in the eyes of God because he has given them to us to do. And as Christians, we're led not to only do church, but to be his church throughout the world. Do our works save us? No. But here's that little nugget that's inside of that passage if we read it too fast. What sets us apart from all of the rest of the world? Good works? No. There are many charities around in this world that do humanitarian things. The nugget that is there in Paul's writing to us today is this. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is what you will depart after you immerse your things in all of the things that you will learn in this seminary. You see, humanity was created in God's image, offsprings of Adam. Adam's fall into sin shattered God's pure image in Adam and for all of his descendants. But St. Paul now says to us and assures us that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. By God's grace, we are born anew in the image of Christ in his means of grace. We received his righteousness in exchange for the filth and the shame of our own sinful nature. We received his righteousness in exchange for the filth and the shame of that, and he became sin for us and died the penalty that our sins deserved. But he rose victorious that we may live with him forever in his glorious and eternal kingdom. It's all ours by God's grace, and you are here to receive that by faith, given from the grace of God, that you may bring this gospel message out to the world, to a hostile and decaying world that would otherwise reject our Savior Jesus Christ. But you are here to receive that and to learn of that, the gracious giving of that great gift that comes from God, that gift of faith that receives this overflowing, continuous grace that comes from God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In his precious name, amen.
In our prayers, we remember Emily Waltz, wife of Connor Waltz, and her family as they mourn the death of her grandfather.
O Lord, let your merciful ears be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and grant that what they ask may be in accord with your gracious will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, the consolation of the sorrowful and the salvation of all that put their trust in you, grant peace to all who mourn Emily's grandfather. Comfort them with the hope of the resurrection, and lead us at last to the everlasting joy of your presence. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Let us bless the Lord.